Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hi guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy. Today we're talking about Season 5, Episode 9, Listening to Fear, the spoiler section. Everyone's like, wait, are we listening to the regular one? No. Spoilers. Okay, so do you guys feel like there's a lot of spoilers for this episode?
Not really. However, I will say, let's all have a moment of silence.
Why?
For Riley's last
episode. Oh, I thought you were going to say for Joyce. I was like, she's not dead yet, Leah.
No. I mean, like, For Riley Eve, they don't know what's coming to them. They have yet to experience the joy of Riley leaving.
God, we have to get through listening or into the woods first. Like, I'm not going to rejoice. I'm going to play the Hallelujah chorus at the very end of that episode because
I just don't like how they change like pace. Like, most of this season has been painting Riley as like not really there, kind of like annoying. All the
or the victim. And then, it's like, very confused on what it's trying to do.
Well, but and then suddenly in Into the Woods it changes and it's like he was the best man that was ever there for Buffy. And like
he's the one.
It's like, what? Like, he was cheating on her.
No, dude. Yeah. Okay. Let's not talk too much about it because like I have so many things to say about Into the Woods. But yes, what I do want to say is Riley has absolutely no leg to stand on in Into the Woods in the very next episode after not turning up to help Buffy when she asked him to in this episode. This episode, like I said in the spoiler-free section, this episode proves that Riley does not need to be needed by Buffy. That's not his problem. His problem is much deeper than that. His problem is the fact that he feels inferior, the fact that he feels like he is missing something in his life, and he's taking it out on Buffy.
Also, like, you shouldn't feel like you need to be needed by your significant other. Like, there's a difference between, like, we rely on each other, like, and all this stuff. But for you to feel like, oh, this person doesn't need me. Why am I here? I don't know. Maybe because they want you there. Like, Riley's need for Buffy to need him is so odd to me.
I think it's a little bit more nuanced than how I painted out to be. I think it's Riley. It isn't that Buffy doesn't need him because I think Buffy does need him. I think it's that Riley doesn't feel like Buffy needs him the way that he wants to be needed. And it's a very selfish type of love, if you can call it that, because Riley's over here going, well, I don't feel like I fit into a certain mold in our relationship, or I don't feel like I'm as strong or as powerful as you, and I'm inadequate, which means I don't deserve you. And that's a reflection of whatever. Like, it just feels like Riley is – he needs to go to therapy. He needs to work out his issues. And what he needs to do is he needs to sit down with Buffy and actually have a frank conversation. And – yeah, I don't know. He's flaky. He's exhibiting toxic behavior. And you know who else is also really awful and Into the Woods is Xander. And in this episode, Xander is still like seeing this toxic behavior from Riley. And he's been calling him out the past couple episodes. But then for some reason does like a complete 180 in the next episode and blames Buffy.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Into the Woods is an objectively bad episode. Not just because we hate Riley and because Xander bothers us. It doesn't make sense. It also completely throws out all the characterization of Riley from season 4. Like, I'll get into it. But anyway, just want to point out that this episode shows that the next episode doesn't make sense. So, okay, that's all I'm going to say about Riley right now because you guys know. We'll get into it the next episode. Dawn. So we have that moment where Willow gives that spell book to Dawn as a gift in the hospital, and she reassures Buffy like, oh, it's just not a book of real spells or whatever. But do you guys remember what happens in Forever when Dawn asks Willow if she can resurrect Joyce? And then Willow pulls out that book of dark magics for Dawn.
Is it the same one?
It's a different book. Oh. It's a different book. But I think not that this moment here in this episode is necessarily problematic, but I think that Willow kind of treats magic a little bit flippantly and kind of oh, this is just something that like Dawn can enjoy and everything. Whereas Tara takes it a lot more seriously, and we see that reflected in Forever. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. We also have Dawn starting to realize that people treat her differently in this episode, which is leading to blood ties when she finally finds out that she's not fully human. And then we also have this moment here where Dawn only hesitates a second before taking action when she grabs the coat rack by her door and then like charges at the creature, like the little roly-poly creature. And I think about the end of season 6 when Dawn fights right next to Buffy at the very end in Grave, and Buffy tells her, I don't want to hide you from the world. I don't want to protect you. I want to show you the world. And we see that Dawn actually can hold her own. And then again in Potential, when she's actually braver than the actual Potential Slayer and goes after them, the vampire, Dawn just wants to be seen. And we're seeing the beginnings of this here. And then obviously this leads into her stealing things in season 6 and, you know, our conversation with Xander. But I just have so much empathy for Dawn in this episode. And I'm also just like so proud of her because I see so much of Buffy's spirit in her. And I just love Dawn.
I feel like protective over Dawn. I feel the need to point out when Dawn does anything right, because I feel like people are so quick to point out when she does something wrong.
Yeah. Not even really something wrong, but just something childish. And I think there's the difference there. Like, guys, of course she's going to make silly mistakes. It's not that she's does something wrong because she means to. It's just that she's immature because she's literally 14.
And maybe this is controversial, but I think that her and Connor are massively...
You've lost Leah already.
I know. Just hear me out. I know you don't like Connor. I don't particularly like Connor
either. Leah clocks out for the day.
Yeah. I don't like Connor either, but I think they are massively overhated, and it's unfair because Connor is also another character with a lot of trauma, and granted the writing is not as great around him and stuff, and I think you can not like him but also fairly represent him. And I think people just like to hate on both of them and say Dawn and Connor are the reasons that, you know, the last few episodes or the last few seasons are not as great. And it's like, I think that's kind of a red herring for all the other massive issues that are going on in those seasons.
I wouldn't say Connor is the thing that makes the season go bad. I would say it's Cordelia is the one that makes that season.
I agree, but I don't think people want to say that it's Cordelia because Cordelia is a favorite. They would rather point to Connor.
No, it's not
this is me saying it as someone who's a fan of Cordelia. What they did to her character on Angel is horrendous.
Oh, it's atrocious.
I've never forgiven them.
Atrocious. Like, and in the first few seasons of Angel, I mean, she makes leaps and bounds, but it's within her character. Like, she's still Cordelia. But then as soon as they chose to make her fall in love with Angel.
Oh, in season 3 immediately.
Her whole personality. Yep.
And yeah, they really did.
They did. And that's what made me piss is that even when Cordelia was in love, she still was a Cordelia until she fell in love with
quotations.
Angel. Yeah, because I don't really ever – I never believed their love story. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I never did. It kind of –
it cheapened.
You know what it – no, you know what it gives me is
– Stefan
we
and
work together.
Elena.
No. What it gives me is we work together and we're with each other every day and we're in these high-stress emotional things. Mm-hmm. So we think
– trauma
that
bonds.
We're, yeah. We think that we're in love because we're see each other every day and we trust each other and –
They're what, taking care of like a baby really, together, so it starts to feel like a family.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was actually ever they loved each other, but whatever. Yeah. I know people have different opinions about that. I will just say, yes, I hate Connor, but I think the main reason I hate Connor is because of everything associated with him and Cordelia.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that's a huge thing. When we get to season 3 and investigating Angel, you guys should come on and like do a couple
of – Oh, I don't know if I have the strength.
Cordelia and Angel episodes.
I can't. I literally can't. I just like – I have nothing nice to say about the whole storyline with Angel and Cordelia. I really don't. Like I – and I'm saying that as someone who was a fan of both of those characters. I just hated it. I hated it from the beginning to the end. I thought it was...
I've never forgotten about it. I just think about it every time I think about the show Angel. It has ruined a lot of the goodness about the show for me.
Well, and at first I was like, you know what? I don't hate this that much. Whatever. I want that. I like these both these characters. But they changed both the characters, specifically Cordelia, so much to make them fit into a ship that you just stop liking them together because you're like, I just want Cordelia to be Cordelia. I don't want her to be her mother. Like, she just got turned into like a mother. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I want to see Cordelia be kind of like a bitch sometimes. Like, yeah. And I don't mean that in like a, she has to be rude to everyone, but I want her to like stand up for herself and like just kind of be like, you need to like get your act together. But she would always like sit down with people and have these like really in-depth talks. And I was like,
that's not Cordelia.
That's fine every once in a while, but every once in a while, I just wanted her to be like,
but don't act as if that's always been there. Yes. You know what I mean?
Like every once in a while, I just was like, I just want her to be like, get up, do something.
Which,
like,
don't get me wrong, Cordelia had hearts, but in her own way. Like, I remember specifically in, what's it called? When she was bad, right? Like, where she talks to Buffy. And that's a heart to heart, but she's still, like, stern in a Cordy way.
She's not. She's brusque, but she's not gentle about it. And she's also just, she's brusque.
And even like that's evident in the fact that when she comes back and you're welcome, that's Cordy. Like when she like chews out like Connor and like, I think it's Connor.
No, Connor's not in that one.
It's, no, who is it?
Oh, Lindsay.
Lindsay, yes. And I thought there was someone else.
I mean, Spike's there. No, Lauren's
Eve.
Oh, yes. Eve, yeah.
And like, I'm like, yes, that's Cordy. Like, and like, that was her, even still kind of having a thing with Angel. So I'm like, what were we doing in season 3 and season 4? Like, I don't understand. Season 3 it's not really that bad. It's more of just like she slowly becomes less and less like herself. And then season 4 is just abysmal, so.
Personally, I think season 3 is worse than season 4 because at least in season 4, you can say that she's taken over by Jasmine. In season 3, she's not even acting like herself and she's supposed to be Cordelia.
I just can't though. Like watching season 4 in the way that everyone thought that Cordy actually had gone evil and no one knows that that's not Cordy makes me, I just can't.
It's not even, oh my God. I just like the thought of her and
Leah's traumatized.
Like, it's actually traumatizing. I really thought to myself, like, they won't take it there. And then they took it there, and I was like, well, they can't possibly. No, but then I was like, but then they can't possibly take it further. No, they did.
Angel can't see them having sex. Oh, he does. Oh, okay. Oh,
she won't get pregnant, right? That's crazy. Oh, oh no, she does. The second time. The second time in the show, she gets pregnant.
And it's not even her baby.
Third time. She gets pregnant, impregnated three times on the show.
That's so psycho. Yeah. That's so psycho.
What's the third?
The third one is in season 3 when these like aliens put that like eyeball in the back of her neck and it's them implanting like their babies in the back of her neck.
I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, it's in season 3 and they like part her hair and there's an eyeball looking at her.
Ew.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, this got so far off the beaten track. Let's go back to this episode. A couple of brief things. So foreshadowing for later on the season, we actually have had a couple of little bits of dialogue that have talked about knights and the dark ages and the middle ages and stuff. And Willow talks about the sweeping plagues in the middle ages, like the black plague and how people were losing their marbles everywhere. And then it would subside because the planet, the alien, whatever came down and like was killing off those people. But this is foreshadowing of the knights, the Byzantine knights or whatever that are coming later on in this series, which I always forget about them until they pop up, but it's just a couple episodes away. And then later on in season 5. So guys, I didn't realize it until I was watching it this last time, but this episode is our goodbye to Joyce. Like the body is not the goodbye to Joyce. This is the episode because it happens so fast and so suddenly in the body, and the body deals with primarily everybody's responses to loss. This episode is the one. We still have a couple
episodes when she's here,
but this is the episode where like they're preparing and everybody's like saying goodbye. Obviously, she's okay for the next couple of episodes, but we don't really have a lot of in-depth conversations between like Buffy and Joyce and conversations about Joyce potentially dying and stuff because everybody thinks she's okay after this. But this episode, like going and watching it and knowing what's coming, I was just struck by how sad this is. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, even Willow has conversation with Joyce, and it kind of is just really sad. Also, I don't know if you guys remember this, but in Forever, so the episode after the body, Buffy has a conversation with Giles, and she reveals that Joyce had a conversation with Buffy, like the one at the very end of this episode, right before Joyce goes into surgery. In that conversation, we didn't see it, but Joyce actually discusses with her funeral arrangements. And that's all of the stuff that Buffy knows for In the Body and Forever and stuff. So kind of heavy. And then slightly happier, but like we talked about this in the spoiler-free section, like Tara is just absolutely sweet and is just the solid rock that everyone needs. In this episode, she is comforting there. Willow. I know, right?
Anytime we say how great she is,
I'm like, too bad she freaking dies, bro. Like, too bad they kill her off.
Just too pure for Sunnydale. Too pure for the world. Real.
Too pure for Willow. Sorry.
Yeah. No, seriously. Seriously.
And this is coming from somebody who is a Willow lover. Like, I love Willow.
Yeah, I love Willow, but like
Tara is too good for her.
Willow does not deserve her.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Everybody talks about how every single character in the Buffyverse is problematic and does something. And I'm like, not Tara.
Not Tara. All not she Tara. Did was die. That's it. That's the only bad thing she ever did was die.
Well, I mean, she did put that spell so that everybody wouldn't see her demon form. But I don't consider that merely.
What does Buffy do?
That's so normal.
Well, I mean, there's when she was bad and like, you know, there's little
she
bits
did some
and pieces.
Stupid stuff, but it's not like,
yeah, but not problematic. Like that's just more of like she messes up. But that's not problematic.
So Tara, getting back to her, I never caught this before and like all these moments between Tara and Willow and Tara and Buffy in previous rewatches, but this is all building towards Tara comforting Buffy in the body and talking about like how she went through her mom dying and stuff. And watching her comfort Willow in this episode, I was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss all these little moments? And why is it so perfect in the body? Because I always see that moment with them in the hospital between Tara and Buffy is like, oh wow, like this is weird. Like, where did this come from? But it's here. We just haven't really seen it. So understated. So I love it. Okay. And then there's a couple, like, it's so weird. Like, we're starting to severely foreshadow things in season 6. And there was a really interesting conversation between Buffy and Dawn in this episode where Dawn says, why does everybody keep doing that? What's wrong with me? And Buffy says, nothing. It's not you. It's just, I think there's something that happens in people's brains when there's something wrong, like a short circuit. And it makes them feel like nothing's real except them. That's all it is. And I think about how in The Weight of the World, when Buffy goes comatose, when Dawn gets stolen and or gets kidnapped, and then Willow has to go inside Buffy's mind, and that whole entire episode is all about Buffy, like just basically short-circuiting and feeling like nothing's real except for her, and like Willow has to kind of pull her out of that. She basically disassociates. And then you have all of season 6 when Buffy thinks something is wrong with her. She thinks she comes back wrong, and she goes to Tara, and Tara tells her, no, like you didn't come back wrong. Like something – it messed something up with the chip. And I mean, that scene just makes me cry every time. But I just – I think about that when Buffy's having this conversation, and then you think about Normal again. Buffy thinks that something, again, is wrong, or that she starts to just want to give in to the fantasy of maybe this life isn't real and I'd rather go into my headspace where like that alternate life is more appealing than this one. And again, you know, Buffy sleeps with Spike in season 6 because she wants to feel something. And she feels like nothing is real and she's numb. And so I thought this was like a clever little bit of not only foreshadowing, but it's just setting the stage for all of these events that are going to happen in the future seasons and in this season. Okay. And then let's talk about Ben. So this is the episode that we figure out that Ben has a connection to Glory. Haha. You know, say that joke a million times. And we also find out that Ben is the one that called the Queller demon who killed all those innocent people. And guys, I know a lot of people like to think of Ben, and I think the show even kind of portrays Ben as like sympathetic. And yes, we can have some sympathy for him. But honestly, from this first moment forward, this act alone makes Giles completely justified in killing Ben to me. The fact that Ben has no problem sacrificing innocence for his own sake, like,
but does he know? Sorry, that, you know.
So that's my thing with Giles killing him, is that I was never opposed to Giles killing Bet, because I genuinely felt like one death is worth millions of civilians.
The whole world, yeah.
My issue with it was that he didn't trust Buffy to make a call. Like, he overrode Buffy and just, like, went rogue, pretty much.
Which is the start of their issues.
That's not really how that scene plays out. Like, Giles specifically says that Buffy is a hero, she is noble, and she will never kill someone that she sees as innocent. Like, Buffy sees Ben as innocent. And so he's like, I'm doing this basically to protect her. And it's supposed to fall into line with the whole, like, Buffy told Giles earlier that episode, I think all the Slayer is a killer. And by Giles saying that, he's going, no, you're not. I recognize that you can't kill Ben, so therefore I will, because I am a killer. And it makes a really interesting contrast between Giles and Buffy. And I don't think he's overriding her, because Buffy never says, hey, I'm going to let you live. She just realizes that Dawn is in peril and then leaves Ben and Glory and runs up to Dawn. So I don't think that's a huge, like, overwrite in that. But I will say the gift is when you start to see more of a divide between Buffy and Giles. So you're right on that end. This is also, like, when we start to kind of get into a little bit of what Ben's purpose is in this season. And I haven't really talked about it yet. I definitely have not talked about it in the spoiler-free section, but here in the spoiler episodes. So Ben is the vessel for Glory, just as Buffy is the vessel for the Slayer. Ben's purpose in this season is he is meant to show what Buffy could be. Selfish instead of selfless. Looking out for himself instead of the helpless. He could have killed himself a long time ago to protect others from Glory. Like, think about it. He knows he's indwelled by Glory. He knows Glory is killing people. He knows Glory is looking for the key and wants to end the world. Ben could have said, hey, for the interests of all the innocents of this world, I'm going to sacrifice myself. And that would have, I would have seen that as noble. But instead, he actively harms others so that he can live his life a little bit longer. And while I recognize that and I empathize with that, ultimately, Ben is a selfish person. And so that's supposed to be contrast to Buffy. He's an interesting mirror to Buffy, who sacrifices herself. And Dawn even marks this difference in The Weight of the World when she tells Glory, like, Glory and Ben keep going back and forth between their like Glory image and then their Ben image, or back and forth between the people. And Dawn yells at Ben, like, go back to Glory. I don't want to see your face. Give me Glory. And she tells Glory that Ben is a monster just like Glory is, but at least Glory's up front with it versus Ben likes to say that he's a good person. And then the last thing I want to talk about, like, I know I kind of mentioned this in the spoiler-free episode, and I know you guys, like, you guys know where this is going. So, like, for everyone who's seen this show before, you kind of know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to say it here because I just think it's so beautiful. So I talked about how this last moment between Joyce and Buffy is really the first moment that Joyce really sees Buffy for who she is. And it's shown through her seeing Dawn for who she really is, like recognizing that Dawn is not actually her daughter. That while Joyce recognizes that Buffy is hers, she also shares Buffy with the world. Like, she recognizes that Buffy has a greater purpose, so that Buffy is hers, but Buffy's also kind of like, Buffy also kind of belongs to the world. And how this season is all about the loss of girlhood. It really is the season of Barbie, guys. Like, this is all about.
That's what I'd be saying.
Yes, it's a loss of innocence. It's Buffy trying to preserve her innocence. It's girlhood. And this scene between Joyce and Buffy is Joyce mourning that, while also saying how proud she is of Buffy. And that is such a big deal, because Joyce has never really fully grasped the importance and the gravity of what Buffy does, and never fully understood it. And so I felt like this is when Joyce really saw Buffy for who she is. And I think about how one of the biggest things that Buffy is fearing about herself in this season is that she has darkness in her. And then that means that all the Slayer really is a killer, a bringer of death. And she talks to Giles in intervention about how she's afraid that she's becoming hardened and unable to love. And that's when she seeks out the spirit guide, who tells her that death is her gift. And then Buffy takes that to mean that her giftedness is just an evil thing, that she just kills evil things. Like, her gift is basically death and slaying. And then in The Gift, she says, I guess all the Slayer really is a killer, like I mentioned before. And Giles is like, no, I disagree. I refuse to believe that that's what that actually is. And then Buffy says she wishes her mom was there and all that. And it's like the whole like child wanting their mom, wanting that protection, missing that loss of innocence. And she reflects back to Angel, even like that girlhood moment of Angel, like I had to kill Angel, but I was certain, because in when you're a child, everything feels so black and white and certain. The brilliant thing about this moment between Joyce and Buffy, and what makes it so beautiful beyond everything I've just mentioned, is that when Joyce says she's important to the world, precious, both Joyce and the show are talking about Buffy, not just Dawn, because Dawn is a part of Buffy. So what Joyce is saying is that Buffy is a gift to the world. And what's the last episode of this season called? It's called The Gift. And that's what Buffy is. And that's where Buffy figures it all out and realizes that in dying, she is gifting Dawn, a girl, the world, the childhood, the freedom, the innocence, the girlhood that she never could have, and that she is losing and has lost a long time ago in a lot of ways. And she's giving countless other little girls the gift of innocence and another day to live. And that's why she says, you know, be brave, live for me. And that's why the forehead kiss is so important. It's Buffy saying, hey, it's your turn to live. I'm giving you this. This is my gift to you. And so Buffy's last act is a gift for everyone she loves, but specifically for Dawn. And it's all right here, because it's Joyce who tells her and urges her to continue to fight. And it's Joyce who tells her, hey, you're precious and you're a gift. And I love how like that's so subtle right here. And I've never caught that before, but they're basically foreshadowing the end of the season right here. And I love that it's Joyce that like is the first one to mention this. And then again, I know we talked about this a couple spoiler sections back, but then in Normal again, it's Joyce who tells Buffy like, hey, you can do this. You can fight. You can get back up. And it's because of Joyce that Buffy decides to kind of stand back up and fight again for her life in season six. And I just love that common thread of having Joyce there. And as Joyce kind of marks Buffy's she's a safe place for Buffy. She's Buffy's mom. She's the one that Buffy looks to and leans on. And she's the one that encourages Buffy to keep moving forward and fighting. And I feel so passionately about Joyce because she's not a perfect mother. Like we all have talked about her flaws many, many times, but people rag on her and she is one of the best portrayals of a TV mom I've ever seen. I just love her so much.
Of a real mom in general. Like she handled, she didn't handle
she goes through
everything so like perfectly in the first couple seasons, but you could tell that it wasn't like, it wasn't coming from a place of control. It wasn't coming from a place of silencing Buffy. Like it was coming from a place of some like a mother who loves her daughter so much that she didn't handle afraid. Things well. Yes. Well,
she was learning. Like she was learning with Buffy. Like she had never been a single mom before.
And as soon as she figured it out with like Buffy like being a Slayer and everything, she was extremely supportive and really trusted Buffy.
Yeah. Even if she fully didn't understand it all, she was supportive. 100%. Yeah. So RIP to Joyce. I'm going to bawl like a baby when the body comes around, but I just am so appreciative of how, you know, crappy as he is, Joss really wrote a very layered mother figure and a very layered woman that is an older woman and not necessarily very young. And so for Joyce to have this conversation with Buffy, Joyce was a girl once too. Joyce knows what it's like to lose that innocence and stuff. And I think that makes it so much more powerful. So
very beautifully said, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, that was Listening to Fear, episode 9. So excited to talk about Into the Woods because I'm about ready to rage against a couple of men. Talk about loss of girlhood and all that stuff. So I'm sure the spoiler section will be just as riveting. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, let us know your thoughts. We would love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr at Becoming Buffy Podcast. And you can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support us or hear our spoiler section for each of these episodes, plus a few other perks, you can join our Buy Me a Coffee membership at buymeacoffee.com/becomingbuffy. Special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Paul, Kashan, Kate, Sophie, and Jade. Thank you so much to all of our listeners, and we will talk to you all next time.